Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Schmo Zone, where the air is thin, the sports get heavy, with your hosts, the dynamic duo, Dave Schmollinson and Helen Yee.
What is up, party people? Welcome back to the Schmo Zone. I'm Dave Schmollinson, a.k.a. The Schmo.
And I'm Helen Yee Sports.
Helen, another beautiful day here in Las Vegas, and we have the best spring weekend in sports coming up this upcoming weekend with the NFL draft. We have the NBA playoffs, and we're a month into the MLB season.
It's a beautiful spring, and it's nice and warm out without being too hot.
Not yet, at least, here in the Vegas heat, of
course.
Yeah,
this will last like 3 minutes.
Where did spring go? Did we even have spring? I feel like we went straight from winter to summer this year.
You know what? I think so. I don't remember us having a spring, just wind.
Just wind, of course. And this past weekend, though, it was very, very exciting, especially in the boxing world, with Ryan Garcia upsetting Devin Haney. Who saw that coming?
Hey, raise your hand out there if you saw Ryan Garcia beating Devin Haney before Saturday.
Not many people.
I'm like, crickets? Do we have the crickets audio? But yeah, did Ryan Garcia troll all of us?
He got many of us. Maybe not all of us, but most of us he got. But what I will say is he's always had the skill. He's always had the talent. He definitely knew something we didn't know. He must have had all the confidence in the world going 3-3 in the amateurs against Devin Haney. Someone I've interviewed over the years, as have you, is Rolando Romero. And there's a clip circulating that I posted on my social media about how he always said that Ryan Garcia has the skill. He's got the power. He's got the speed. You know, Devin has the ring generalship. He's got the IQ. But it just sounded like Ryan would have all of the advantages going into the fight. And with the mental warfare and who knows what was real and what wasn't real, but he got the job done, and very smart of him. Not the classiest move, but weighing 3.2 pounds over and forfeiting $500,000 for every pound over. So he just forfeited $1.5 million of his purse before the fight ever started on a handshake bet he made with Devin Haney in the last press conference leading up to the fight. He didn't need that $1.5 million because I believe he made $50 million.
Yeah, and the $12 million betting on himself.
That's right. He turned $2 million betting on himself to a profit of $12 million betting on yourself. I guess you can do that. You can bet on yourself.
You know, I'm looking around this room like there's about to be some answers, but I was not too aware. Even Damon, I don't know. Feel free to chime in.
Fighters betting on themselves, Damon. Putting money on the line.
Hey, just found this here. As per, it was revealed in 2017, the Nevada Gaming Control Board and Nevada State Athletic Commission didn't have a specific rule against fighters placing bet on themselves.
Hmm. So I guess it's like you could bet on yourself to win. And maybe,
oh, yes, of course.
You know what I'm saying? Not like lose or get knocked out, you know?
Yeah, we don't need any crazy. There's still an ongoing investigation with a former UFC fighter and UFC coach in regards to gambling and sports that we don't have information on yet. But anyways, I digress. We only have an hour show. There's so much to get into.
I know. I guess I could finish my thoughts on this at the end. Or I could, you're telling me to finish it now, but you mentioned the mental warfare. He did claim that he pre-recorded everything months before it was released. And yeah, so Ryan Garcia was technically kind of acting.
I think so, but I feel like it's a win-win for him because if you lose, there's already kind of a built-in excuse. His head wasn't right, so on and so forth, but there's got to be a level of it that was true and a level of it that was untrue.
He said the drinking part, he did drink during camp. So,
oh, man, that's not a good precedent to set for other fighters.
I don't know. And everybody, all the young kids who are, you know, starting to box right now and look up to him. I don't know if that, you know, is a good thing to say.
And
but
then in his last fight before the Haney fight, he got stopped by a liver shot against Tank Davis. You know, he couldn't continue the fight. That's how that TKO ended that outing for him. So it's not a good look saying all of that, but he is getting the last laugh right now because so many people doubted him and he ended up victorious. And sure, we can get into that later on. I do want to talk more NBA because Zach Edey, the 7'4" Purdue Boilermaker big man, back-to-back college basketball player of the year, the first unanimous winner since Bill Walton in 1973. He officially declared for the NBA draft today. Now, I always look at the NBA draft big boards where people are going to fall. Right now, number 14, 15, 16, kind of in that mid-range area. Still not necessarily a lottery pick, but I'm telling you what, I really think Zach Edey, the more I watched him play and just the more I see of this guy, they still have the NBA combine they're going to go through and whatnot. Any team that takes this big man and wants to play through him, I think they will be successful. That's my takeaway from him. He only started playing basketball seriously as a high school sophomore back in the fall of 2017. I mean, he played other sports, hockey and baseball until then, and he still has so much more room to grow. And I think with the success he was able to have at Purdue, yes, last year their season ended early in the NCAA tournament. They had that big upset against them. But then coming back this year and getting all the way to the NCAA championship game, scoring 37 points, I think he had 10 or 12 rebounds. I think Zach Edey will find a way to be successful in the NBA. And the NBA is just one of those leagues where every couple of years you see different trends. You see when Steph Curry first came into the NBA, how there wasn't as much emphasis on the three ball and then these point forward positions and whatnot, these 3-and-D wings, and that shifted. I think that Zach Edey's the type of player that can shift the NBA to going back to having bigs that can do a lot of versatile things, whether he's inside or outside. I think he's got the skill set where he can develop into just a great player wherever he ends up.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to continue to follow his very young career. But I know you love the NBA. You've been following it and watching the Lakers. I mean, talk about nasty blowout. 20-point lead that they, you know.
Largest blown lead of the year for the Lakers, 20 points. And a nail-biter loss. You lose in Denver 101-99. They needed that game, Helen. They really did. Now you're down 0-2. We know the statistics for teams that are 0-2 in a series. It stinks. I mean, is this really the last playoff hurrah we see out of arguably the greatest player of all time in my eyes, the second greatest player of all time in LeBron James? Is this the last hurrah, the last run? I don't know, but it could be.
Yeah, well, you bring up a good point because I was thinking, too, depending on how this, you know, ends up playing out, does this kind of expedite the process, you know, like how much longer LeBron even wants to continue?
Depending on how the series goes, if they get swept, that could be definitely looming in his eyes in the offseason. If the Nuggets sweep the Lakers, maybe we get one less year of LeBron James. I know Bronny's coming out in the NBA draft. We're keep talking drafts. We're going to get to the NFL draft here soon. NBA draft's not till end of June. But I really think that would definitely weigh in his decision-making about how much longer he's going to be playing in the league. If the Lakers do not put forth the right effort and make this a competitive series. Because right now, we've seen chalk in the NBA playoffs. Cavs up 2-0. Over the Magic, Knicks 2 up over the 76ers. Maybe a little controversy in last night's game with the Knicks getting the W, but I just love the versatility of Josh Hart. He's been able to do everything for that team. Obviously, Jalen Brunson, what he's doing at the point guard position. You know, tonight, you got the T-Wolves 1 up over the Suns. You got the Bucks 1-0 over the Pacers. The Clippers 1-0 over the Mavericks. And Kawhi Leonard may or may not play. He hasn't played in the last 9 games, hasn't played since March 31st with that inflammation in the right knee, which, by the way, is the same knee that he's had surgeries on with the ACL and the meniscus. So it's going to be interesting to see what unfolds, but so far we've got chalk. I think of the teams that are playing tonight, I think that the Mavericks have the best chance of winning on the road against the Clippers. So we'll see, especially if they're without Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, I know I'll be watching, but you mentioned the NFL draft. It's coming up in 2 days, April 25th to 27th in Detroit.
Huge. Been waiting so long for these schmoments, counting down, as the schmo would say. Coming up next after break, we're going to be hear from Mark Raimondi, a good friend of ours, who has the beat with the Atlanta Falcons for ESPN. We're going to catch up with him and see what's going on in Falcons land and also talk some drafts. But we're going to get really heavy in NFL draft talk, so don't go anywhere. The Schmo Zone, ESPN Radio Las Vegas.
Welcome back. We're your hosts, Dave Schmullinson and Helen Yee. Peel back the curtain in the Vegas sports world and beyond.
Welcome back to the Schmo Zone, party people. I'm Dave Schmullinson, a.k.a. The Schmo.
And I'm Helen Yee.
And we were just talking before the break. We have an absolute loaded weekend in sports with the NFL draft, the NBA playoffs. Just excellent stuff we can't wait to discuss. Tomorrow, we got a quick trip to San Diego. Helen's going to be swimming with Olympian Gary Hall Sr., which we're excited for. And we're covering some BKFC at the Peacock Theater in Los Angeles. Platinum Mike Perry, the most violent man, back in action. So between combat sports, NFL, NBA, no shortage of sports to talk about.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. And I'm really excited to talk some NFL draft. I know he kind of requested you to maybe do the intro. So should we welcome him
let's,
on the show?
Let's welcome him in. He's an author, forthcoming NWO book, a veteran fight journalist for SB Nation and ESPN. And this month, he migrated full-time to the NFL world as the Atlanta Falcons beat writer for ESPN. He's the one and only Mark Raimondi. What's up, Mark?
Hey, guys. How's it going? Long time no see.
I know. How are you?
I'm good. This is my second week in Atlanta. Just getting settled in over here. It's I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you on. I know there's been so much going on. First off, I know yesterday you actually reported, I saw your post on Matt Ryan officially retiring as a Falcon.
Yeah, I mean, that was my first day on the job, right? Matt Ryan, you know, one of the great players, not just for the Atlanta Falcons, but really the entire city of Atlanta, retired yesterday, 14 seasons with the team, you know, left the team a couple of years ago to go to Indianapolis, did not play last year. But yeah, he's hanging up the cleats. And now the question is he Hall of Fame bound in the future? I think that's definitely a possibility. I think one of the more underrated quarterbacks of the last couple decades.
Certainly on the Mount Rushmore for best quarterbacks to never win a Super Bowl. Funny enough, I asked him that question when I met him for the first time a few months ago when he was in Vegas for the Super Bowl. I put him on the spot. I asked him to name his Mount Rushmore. He said Dan Marino, and then he kind of paused. You got to start looking at some of the guys currently playing, and he brought up Josh Allen, who kind of laughed. It's like, hey, don't say that to Bills fans. They still won a Super Bowl. They're still in the running for it.
That's true. That's very true. And, yeah, he didn't win one. Came somewhat close back in 2016. But yeah, I mean, the guy was just, you know, Mr. Steady, Mr. Durable for the Falcons for so long. And, you know, after the last couple of years in Atlanta, you really start to – and there was a few years right at the end of his run where people in Atlanta were kind of like, you know, let's trade him, let's get rid of him, let's bring in somebody new. But the last few years, it's been like a dearth at the quarterback position. Now they have Kirk Cousins. It's a whole new playing field. But I think the appreciation for Matt Ryan over the last few years here has only grown.
And you mentioned Kirk Cousins. Any sense of how Matt Ryan feels about that acquisition of Kirk Cousins?
Yeah, that's a great question, Helen. I mean, I think I didn't get a chance to ask him that at the press conference yesterday, but I have to imagine that he sees a lot of himself in Kirk Cousins just because they, again, you know, steady, you know, even-keeled guy, dependable, You know, I'd say Matt Ryan probably just from a stats and you know, playoff perspective has had a better career. But you know, I think the Falcons and their fans are kind of seeing Kirk Cousins as a stabilizing force, at least for the next 2 years, that Matt Ryan was here for so long.
How serious are the tampering allegations with Kirk Cousins during the free agency process?
That's a really good question, Dave. And like, this is again, you know, I'm pretty new. You know, I haven't covered the NFL in a very long time, and I'm back on the beat now after 11 years in combat sports. And you know, you hear something like tampering, and it's like, to me, as someone who covered combat sports, it's kind of like a lawless world, right? Like MMA is kind of lawless, it's like the wild, wild west. Like people kind of do what they want when they want in many cases. And you know, you hear something like tampering, and it's like, it seems like the league is taking it very seriously. I don't know how much fans really take it seriously. It seems, you know, kind of just one of those, you know, red tape bureaucratic things. But, you know, from what ESPN's Adam Schefter is reporting, it feels like the Falcons are going to get dinged possibly with draft picks. Not this year. You know, it's not going to get concluded this week. But possibly, you know, next year's draft, the Falcons could be looking at losing. You know, pick what, I don't know if that's a first round, probably not, but maybe a second or third round, which is, you know, not insignificant if that all comes down the way that it might.
Well, speaking of the NFL draft this Thursday, the Falcons have the 8th overall pick. What's the sense you're getting that they're going to do with that pick? And is there a possibility that they end up trading down?
I think so. And I'm just getting back from general manager Terry Fontenot's availability about the draft. And he was asked a lot of questions about trading down and whether that's a possibility. And he said that he has taken more calls than usual this year about a trade for the number 8 pick because of how many quarterbacks could go in the first. I mean, there could be a quarterback taken with the first 4 picks, possibly. I think most people think that a quarterback will be taken with the first 3 picks as a lock, right? So because of that, it pushes some of the other really good players in the draft down, which means the number 8 spot can get very intriguing for teams who want to move up. So I don't think that's off the table by any means for the Falcons. There's going to be a good player available there no matter what, someone who could be a difference maker, I think. And the Falcons need defense. Really, that's a big priority because they spent most of their offseason so far, you know, getting guys like Kirk Cousins, shoring up the wide receiver position with you know, Darnell Mooney and Rondale Moore. So I really think that defense is number 1, but there's a lot of good wide receivers in this draft, and you know, Terry Fontenot is kind of the best player available type of guy, so it wouldn't shock me to see them get another receiver or just get whoever is like the number 1 guy on their board available at number 8 if they stay there.
Someone that they were really high on, and I'm still high on him. He burned me last year in fantasy football, but tight end Kyle Pitts, he was just one of those transcending athletes, but he hasn't seemed to get really involved with the offense. What's head coach Raheem Morris plans to involve tight end Kyle Pitts in the offense, and will he kind of live up to that pre-draft hype everyone in Atlanta expected out of him with the offense this season?
You know, Dave, it's funny because, like, I think Atlanta's going to have a pretty solid team in 2024, but the name that people always ask me about, and I've only been, you know, here for a minute, but people always ask me about Kyle Pitts because there are those expectations for him that some would say he has not met yet. But you have to look at the quarterback position, right? The last few years it's not been, you know, a great time for the Falcons at that position. And in order for Kyle Pitts to do what he can do, he needs someone competent back there. And Kirk Cousins, from, you know, by all accounts, people think that he could be that guy. And, you know, Raheem Morris spoke about this about a month ago at the NFL annual meeting about Kyle Pitts, and he loves him, and he thinks that he's going to get his fair share of targets this year, and he's going to be a really, really major part of the offense. So for all those fantasy football players, I think there's a lot of hope there for Kyle Pitts in 2024.
There was a great report a week ago by Don Von Natta, Seth Wickersham, and Jeremy Fowler. They all contributed, just talking about the possibility of Bill Belichick getting the job in Atlanta, and, you know, Arthur Blank, the owner of Atlanta, having a conversation with the owner of the Patriots, Robert Kraft, and ultimately, yes, the Falcons went in the direction of Raheem Morris. Just wanted to get your overall thoughts on how Bill Belichick is not a head coach and how he could have been a head coach with the Atlanta Falcons this season.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, this is Bill Belichick, right? I mean, one of the greatest, another greatest coach of all time. His resume speaks for itself, all the world championships. all the Super Bowl championships. The thing is that the last few years did not really go his way in New England. You know, there was a reason why, you know, those two sides parted ways. And I think when you look at the future, I think one of the things the Falcons were worried about, and what people here in Atlanta were worried about, and believe me, they were definitely supporters who wanted to see Bill Belichick with the Falcons in 2024 and beyond. But I think one of the problems was, how long is he really going to stay here? You know, what was he going to do? Was he going to blow up what they have, you know, currently? Because, I mean, I think there's a view that Bill Belichick, you know, he's going to want a lot of control. He's Bill Belichick, right? He had that already in the past, and he did well with it. But how much control was he going to take? Was he going to blow up what they were already building in New England? And then was he going to just, you know, bolt and retire in 2 or 3 years and leave the team with nothing? And I think Raheem Morris was a guy that they were very comfortable with. He was a defensive, you know, he was an assistant coach in Atlanta. You know, he's won a Super Bowl now in Los Angeles. And he's such a well-liked guy. You know, one of the things that I keep hearing from people around the league, you know, in doing this and being at the combine and being at the annual meeting is, this is a really, really well-liked guy around the league by just about everyone. Got a lot of charisma. You know, he's a leader of men. And I really think that they are over the moon right now with the hire of Raheem Morris. And a lot of people feel that way, too, outside of the Falcons as well.
And we're talking to Atlanta Falcons beat reporter for ESPN and longtime veteran MMA journalist, the great Mark Raimondi. We really appreciate you having, you know, giving us some of your time. I know you're a very busy man, but we did see you a few weeks ago for UFC 300. We actually saw you before, you know, the amazing fight night went down. But what were your thoughts overall on UFC 300?
I mean, that was one of the most fun fight cards I've ever covered, and I thought that I mean, and you guys know this because you guys were with me for so many years covering MMA. It's an exciting sport, right? You know, and there are a lot of fun cards and a lot of great fights. But that Max Holloway Justin Gaethje fight and the way that fight finished was, you know, among the most exhilarating things and thrilling things that I think I've ever witnessed as a reporter. I've been a reporter for my entire adult life. I don't want to say how long that is, but it's about two decades now. It was just phenomenal, and I was really when I took the job as Falcons beat writer for ESPN back in February, I was very adamant that I stay on the beat in MMA until UFC 300 because I really, really wanted to cover that and I wanted to make that my last one. And I'm very, very glad that I got to do that. And I was in the building and I was cage side to see especially that Holloway-Gaethje fight and finish because that was just like all-time stuff, at least in my opinion.
There was no better way to go out than that fight card and that fight specifically. I have to ask you then, Mark, like, what do you think should be next for Max Holloway? Do you think he should contend for the 145-pound belt? Should he contend for the 155-pound belt? Is there a money fight out there? Like, if you were playing matchmaker, who would you like to see blessed Max Holloway fight next?
I mean, a lot of people were cropping on me last year when Justin Gaethje fought Dustin Poirier for the BMF title in Salt Lake City last summer, and because I was adamant that I like the BMF title. I think it's a viable thing. Look, it's not the world title. We all know that, but this is also the entertainment business, right? You know, it's a sport, but there's also an entertainment aspect of it. And I thought the BMF title was a great way to kind of highlight maybe the guy who isn't the best fighter in his her division, but you know what they bring to the table every time they get into the octagon. And Justin Gaethje was absolutely that guy. Poirier was that guy. Jorge Masvidal and Nate Diaz were those guys before them. And now Max Holloway is undoubtedly that guy. And I'd like to see him defend that title at some point. Now, I think he's, you know, you can make the argument that he is first in line for the lightweight title and the featherweight title right now, right? So, I mean, it's really up to him. He has all the options in the world. Islam is fighting Dustin Poirier next. We know that already. I would love to see Max Holloway versus Otoporia, but I would also like to see at some point Max Holloway defend that BMF title, and that should be a true open weight title. I don't think there should be a weight class attached to it. I think that I'm not saying one guy comes in at 170, one guy comes in at 155, but I think it should be a title that gets defended across weight divisions. So Max Holloway can go up to 155, go down to 145, defended there. There shouldn't be a weight class on that title, so to speak. So I think the options are great, and no matter what, I mean, I don't see a boring fight or a bad fight out there for Max Holloway, and the opportunities are kind of endless right now.
And Mark, last one for me, from me, because I know the combat sports world misses you a lot. But Conor McGregor, I mean, it's official. He will be returning UFC 303 against Michael Chandler. Who do you favor in that fight?
It's got to be Chandler, right? I mean, just because he's been, even though he's been out for a little bit, he has been the more active guy over the last few years. And he's fought, you know, he's fought a lot of the best fighters in that lightweight division over the last several years. And he's been competitive with all of them for the most part. You know, he came, you know, a few inches, a few seconds away from finishing Charles Oliveira and becoming the UFC lightweight champion. So, I mean, I think the guy is still an elite lightweight. And there's just so many question marks around Conor. I mean, if you would have asked me prime Conor McGregor versus prime Michael Chandler, obviously Conor McGregor would be favored in that fight. But McGregor has, what, one win since 2016? There's just so many question marks. You know, how is his leg doing? What is his health like? You know, has he been doing enough to get better from that broken leg? Has he been doing enough in preparation for this fight for a guy like Michael Chandler, who you know is working his butt off, right? He's in his gym in Tennessee working his butt off day in and day out. He's at Killcliff working, you know, in Florida, working his butt off day in and day out. Is McGregor doing that? And will he be committed enough to do that in the next few months to get ready for the fight? Because this is a guy that, you know, he's doing movies and, you know, he likes to go out. You know, we know this. You know, it's on his Instagram. It's not a big surprise. So how committed is he really to winning this fight? You know, can he return to the Conor McGregor of old? A lot of question marks. So I would say Chandler has to be the favorite in the fight. Anything could happen, right? McGregor still has that power. He can knock Michael Chandler out. But if you're asking me who the favorite would be, it has to be Chandler.
He's the great and versatile Mark Raimondi. We talked NFL. We talked some UFC. Maybe next time we'll talk a little NWO. We'll talk a little WWE, pro wrestling.
Now we're talking. I was thinking maybe Max Holloway could just be part of the Bloodline storyline. He's, you know, he's Mark Samoan. I mean, throw him in WWE. The guy can do it all.
Yes, he can. Yes, he can. That's not a bad idea.
That'd be a good crossover.
There it is. You heard it first. Mark, we appreciate your time, and we'll do this again sometime soon.
Thank you, guys. Really appreciate it.
No
problem. That's Mark Raimondi. He's on the Atlanta Falcons beat. I mean, coming up, we got more NFL draft to discuss. Don't go anywhere. The Schmo Zone, ESPN Radio Las Vegas.
Now you're back into the Schmo Zone on ESPN Las Vegas.
It is my favorite spring weekend in sports. I absolutely love the NFL draft. You get so much action without guys competing on the field, but it just sets up the future. I mean, I just thought we'd throw a monkey wrench in there and just bring in someone who might not be on all of your leaderboards for the draft, but he's certainly going to be playing in the NFL next season. He set a bunch of records. He's the punter at Texas Tech. He was a Red Raiders, arguably the greatest punter in Texas Tech Red Raiders history. He played at the 2024 Senior Bowl. He's the 2023 Big 12 Special Teams Player of the Year. He won the starting job as a true freshman and played in four bowl games in college. Let's bring in Austin McNamara.
How's it going?
Good. How are you, Austin?
Good. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Of course, man. Listen, this is obviously the biggest weekend of your life coming up. What are the nerves? What are the feels? It's a couple days away from the NFL draft.
Yes, sir. I'm really excited for this weekend. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm having some teammates and family and friends and people come into town this weekend, so that should be a lot of fun. And, you know, looking forward to seeing what happens. And, you know, with punters, you know, you never know what can happen, really with any type of specialist. So, you know, really excited to get going this weekend and find my hopefully new home and go and compete and make an organization better. So we're looking forward to it. And process went by really, really fast this past couple months. So I'm excited to see what happens.
What have those conversations been like when you've been talking to NFL teams that have been come watching you play, especially like at the Senior Bowl and watching your workouts? What have those conversations been like throughout the process?
Yeah, I've talked to, you know, a lot of different scouts, a couple coaches, just people throughout the organization, and you know, they kind of asked all the same questions, you know, just about my family life, personal life, going back to my college career, injuries, off the field issues, just a lot of that same stuff. But they want to know kind of like who you are as a person, and you know, what makes you tick, what's your why, that type of thing. So you know, they want to get to know you on a personal level and see if they can, you know, obviously work with you in the NFL. And if you can be a good addition to their team. So really just trying to be myself throughout the process. That's kind of been what I've been told, what I was told throughout throughout the whole thing, and even going back to the beginning of this past year was just to be myself and to always be honest and truthful, and just everything will work out the way it's supposed to. And I feel like I've done that up to this point. So excited to see what happens and where we go from here.
But why is this different than, let's say, when you were being recruited to play college ball, and now you're going to even the highest level of football in the NFL game? Like, walk us through, like, what it's like being a specialist, because we always hear the stories of, you know, the skilled positions, the wide receivers, the quarterbacks, the defensive ends, but not many people really talk to the punters throughout this process. So really walk us through what it's like being on the inside of that.
As a specialist, you are a little bit different than a lot of the other guys, like you mentioned. And it just comes with the job. That's what we signed up for back a long time ago. And recruiting in college is definitely a lot more important, or a lot more different, I would say, than NFL. The college level out of high school kind of sets you up for the NFL. And so, in order to make the right decision in college, that's always really important, and to put yourself in the best situation. And then the NFL, when you get to that point after your college career, I'm very fortunate to be able to have the career that I did and be in this position and be talking to you guys and just to be able to get the recognition. So I put a lot of hard work into it, and it's, there's a lot of reps that comes with it being a specialist. There's a lot of hard work, a lot of, nights and days behind the scenes and no one's watching, so you can do it when people are watching. So, I put a lot of time and effort into this as a punter and trying to represent, all the specialists out there, anywhere. And, obviously my family and everyone else. So, being a specialist is awesome. Like I said, it's what I've been doing it for a long time and recommend it to anyone that wants to get into it and to try it. We try and impact the game as best we can when we're called upon. And that's basically our job. So.
And I'd argue that there's a former specialist, a former NFL punter, that's arguably the most powerful man in sports media these days, and Pat McAfee. What's your influence from a Pat McAfee, and see what his success looks like off the field, post playing career?
Right. Yeah. No. Pat McAfee. He's awesome. Every specialist, more specifically, I think the punters, try and emulate him and follow in his footsteps. He's obviously a great icon to look up to and to kind of learn from. I watch his show, almost every day, and obviously watch a lot of his film from when he was back playing with the Colts and at West Virginia and back in college. So I played at West Virginia a couple of times too, so that's been kind of cool to connect that. But he's definitely one of the biggest influencers right now in sports media, like you mentioned, and obviously any of us can only dream to have a career like he's had so far, and honestly just trying to do my part and punt well and hopefully get recognized by him, maybe one day. And obviously the NFL and NFL team give you that kind of platform. So to answer your question, he's been awesome to look forward or look up to, and as you'll learn from him a little bit and kind of get that little bit of a swagger that he had when he was playing, it kind of keeps us confident as specialists. So he's definitely one to look up to.
Do you have any early inclination from any teams, without naming any of those teams, that you are going to potentially be drafted by one of them?
I've heard a little bit, with punters, specifically, it could go either way. There could be one or two or four drafted in any given draft. So, I haven't been paying attention to the mock drafts or anything like that per se, but, I've heard from a few teams, going back to over the last few months and then, a few more teams, throughout the last couple of weeks or so. So, I feel like I'm in a really good spot right now where we are today. And like I said, really excited to see what happens. And whether I'm drafted or undrafted, end up in a good spot and in a good place and be able to help them win and become better. So I'm looking forward to that.
So that leads to my next question. Let's say we're going into the seventh round and you haven't been drafted. Would you rather not get drafted and kind of pick the destination you want to go to, or just would you rather hear your name called this weekend?
Mm-hmm. Obviously, I think a little bit, I'm kind of torn. I'm like 50-50. I think, with the draft, everyone wants to hear their name called, and there's a lot more, guarantees with that comes with that a little bit. But with undrafted, like I said, you get to pick where you go and get to pick the best situation for you. So me and my agent and my team, my family, kind of going into this weekend, we'll have a list of teams and kind of landing spots, and we'll be prepared for this weekend, and we'll be ready to go and see what happens from there and be able to adjust to whatever happens. So You know, but I'm a little bit torn, 50-50 for sure in that area, and I really just want to end up in a situation and be able to give me the best spot and best chance to play this upcoming season.
We're speaking with Austin McNamara, punter for Texas Tech Red Raiders, getting ready for the NFL draft. Did you have any interactions over your years at Texas Tech with the great Patrick Mahomes?
I did. I mean, just barely. He came to. He's been to, I think, three or four games, I think, over my career at Tech. He's come to, I think, one or two home games. He came down to Houston in 2021 for our home opener, and then we inducted him into Texas Tech Hall of Fame this past, I guess, two seasons ago now. So he was obviously in Lubbock for that too. So he's come in the locker room before the game and kind of give us, you know, dap us up for the game in the locker room and stuff. I've never actually talked to him officially or anything like that, but yeah, I've gotten to, I guess, kind of meet him in a way over the last couple of years. And obviously, he's one of our biggest alumni and biggest, icon in sports right now. So it's cool to look up to him and see what he's been doing. And, you know, we have a saying at Tech, from here is possible. So we try and emulate that into, you know, kind of what we do. And, you know, anything's possible. You put your mind to it. I think he's done that and proved that. So looking forward to hopefully maybe meeting him one day and connecting at some point.
So, Austin, in addition to football, I hear you played basketball when you're in high school, and you're a big fan of basketball as well. We got the NBA playoffs right now. Is there a favorite team that you have that you've been watching and following this NBA postseason?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I'm a big basketball fan. You know, I miss playing it. I played in high school, as you mentioned, growing up. I was born in California. I was born actually into a Laker family. So I'm a big Lakers fan. A little bit heartbroken from last night, as you can imagine from the game, but... like I said, I'm a big Lakers fan. My grandparents, my dad, they grew up going to Lakers games, so I was kind of born into that, and I definitely embraced that for sure. I'm a big Kobe fan and stuff too. So, to answer your question, I'm a big Lakers fan. I'm still overwhelmed and a little bit heartbroken from last night, but I think we'll be able to bounce back. I'm a Laker fan through and through. So excited to see what they can do. I was actually able to go to a game a couple weeks ago at Crypto.com Arena, so that was a lot of fun, and really good to see them play. So, we're rooting for the Lakers to bring it home, so we'll see what happens.
Well, who's your favorite basketball player to watch?
I've always been a LeBron fan, growing up and then throughout the years. So I love watching him. I'm a little biased now because he is on the Lakers, for sure. So he obviously is one that I root for. I really like watching, Luka for the Mavs. I've watched him for a while too throughout his career, and love just his pace of play and his, confidence and swagger that he has about him. And I need to make it out to a Mavs game at some point. I was only about 4.5 hours from Dallas, when I was back in Lubbock, living in Lubbock, and never been able to make it out to a game, but I'd love to go see him play. And I think he's a great example. I think he, obviously he's playing at MVP level. So, there's so many guys I can name, on each team, and I love watching those guys compete, and I've been a big fan of the NBA for a long time.
So let's put the bias aside. We saw the Lakers give up a 20-point lead yesterday. They're down 0-2. We know statistically that's tough for NBA teams in the playoffs to come back from. Who's got the best chance, if it's not the Lakers, to dethrone the Denver Nuggets, the defending champions, and represent the Western Conference?
Yeah, obviously I'm rooting for the Lakers to bounce back, but I think, another team in the West, that's loaded. I think the Clippers have a fair shot. They stay healthy and they play well. It's really anyone's game. I feel like every year, there's always teams that get upset and there's always a favorite, especially in the East with Boston or a few others that never make it out to the finals or to the NBA finals or conference finals, either one. So, I feel like it's really anyone's year. To be honest, the Western Conference is a hard conference to play in, and Lakers are trying to survive this one and get past Denver. But Denver's really good. They're really talented, very, very physical, and they're real well coached, and they're fun to watch. So we'll see what happens. I think beat anyone on any given night. So it'll be interesting to see who dethrones Denver if it's not the Lakers.
Excellent. It's the best weekend in sports in the springtime with these NBA playoffs. You got the NFL draft. Where are you going to be watching all of this weekend? Where are you going to be enjoying yourself for, obviously, probably the best weekend of your life, arguably?
Yeah, yes, sir. I'll be in Arizona. I'm from Gilbert, Arizona originally, so I'm in the desert, not too far from Vegas. I'm here right now. I'll be here throughout this weekend. I've been training here the last 4 months, so I'll be right at home with family, friends, teammates, and it should be a great weekend, so I'm really looking forward to it.
Awesome. Austin, we appreciate your time. Thanks for stopping in the Schmo Zone. We wish you all the luck this weekend, getting drafted and just with your NFL career all in general.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
No problem. Have a great day.
You too. Thanks.
Take care. Austin McNamara, good dude. He loves his basketball too, Helen.
I know. And I was tempted to ask him LeBron or Jordan, but I didn't want to piss you off here in the studio if he says LeBron. I'm just kidding. I know you're a diehard Michael Jordan fan, so.
I don't think, even if the Lakers came back and they won this series and they somehow miraculously won the NBA Finals, I still wouldn't put him over Jordan. I mean, certainly from what we have, a longevity argument and the statistics, but the apex greatness, individual seasons, what they're able to achieve, who do you want, game on the line, ball at hand, you know what my argument's going to be. You know me too well, Helen. You obviously know me too well.
Well, we spoke NBA, we spoke NFL. There was some major news today that was a bit, I don't know if dramatic's the right word, but local Las Vegas Aces player Kelsey Plum announces her divorce from Darren Waller, a former Raider, now Giant. I know DeMond was laughing at me as I was, you know, mentioning this story.
Some TMZ action.
Heartbreaking story.
Literally heartbreaking.
Great couple.
But look, I mean, this is relevant, right? We're here in Las Vegas. Aces player, champion.
Yep.
Former Raider. I mean, and now, like, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
You log into X and you see the X's, you know, and that's all they're talking about.
They love the drama. They were a great couple. That was a power couple.
But they only lasted 13 months.
It felt like that was longer than that. It was only 13 months?
Yeah.
They were a great couple. Yeah, they were a great couple. Life happens. People
and life happens fast sometimes. Yeah. But I hope, you know, everything will be okay in the end and that they both will find love, you know, somewhere else.
Somewhere else, certainly. And speaking of Vegas, our Raiders picking 13, maybe they draft up. It'll be really interesting. How many quarterbacks are going to be taken? Will we have 5 in the first round? Will we have 6? Who's the most likely team to move up in the draft? I think it's the Vikings. But yes, they signed Sam Darnold in March. They lost Kirk Cousins in free agency. But they have 2 first-round picks. They have the 11th overall pick and the 23rd overall pick. I could see them moving into the top 10 and grabbing a quarterback in the future, especially if they want some leverage to signing Justin Jefferson, arguably the greatest wide receiver in the NFL, to a contract extension. How are you going to get him to sign a contract extension if you have question marks at the quarterback position? That will be interesting to see. Yesterday, Zach Wilson, who was the number 2 overall pick in 2021, traded from the Jets to the Broncos along with the 7th round pick to get a 6th round pick. So Zach Wilson plus a 7th in exchange for a 6th. That's interesting to see. Our Raiders on the clock at 13. Like I said, I can't wait to see how it all goes down, Helen.
I know you're so excited. Like, I can feel your energy right now. And it's all positive.
I love it. I love it. I mean, I just look at these quarterbacks, like obviously the Bears and Caleb Williams, USC. But the 2nd and 3rd picks, that's when the draft will really start. I mean, is it going to be Jaden Daniels from LSU, the Heisman winner? Will it be Drake May from UNC? And then you got J.J. McCarthy, who was 27-1 at Michigan. And then you got Bo Nix and Michael Penix Jr., Oregon and Washington, are representing the Pac-12 right there, along with Caleb Williams. I mean, 3 quarterbacks could arguably go in the first round from the Pac-12, which is no longer a conference, really. I mean,
I know, that's crazy.
That's still hard to believe, really. It really is. It's such a shame they couldn't get the media rights deals the way they should have been over the years. And just the Conference of Champions. We'll see how it all plays out. I'm excited for this weekend, too. Like, we were talking some UFC. I'm going to interview a former UFC light heavyweight champion, Jamal Hill. Stay tuned for that. Follow Helen at Helen Yee Sports on socials. Follow me at the Schmo312. Also, follow us at the Schmo Zone.
Yeah, we're going to be doing some traveling. Maybe
California this week?
Yeah, I'm like, it depends. We're either going late tonight or super early, like 4 a.m. tomorrow morning. I don't know what's a better option. DeMond, would you rather drive to California late at night, like 8 or 9 p.m., get there around, you know, midnight, 1 a.m., or would you rather wake up super early and drive?
I hate driving any longer than about 2 hours, so it's
flying. Oh, so you're flying. So
I'm not driving anywhere in California, especially not in the day. Maybe I'd leave late at night.
The way that airfare's been recently, just air travel, just how exhausting it is and how crammed the seats are, Helen would rather drive over fly these days. That's why we drive.
Yeah, I would rather get stuck in six-hour traffic, moving 1 mile, which, true story, though.
That's what happened to you returning here to Vegas from California, last time. Don't jinx us for the road. We appreciate you all tuning in every Tuesday, the Schmo Zone. Till next time, I'm Dave Schmolenson.
And I'm Helen Yee.
And stay fresh. We're out.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.